number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline, where we get to say hello to our good friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle as he joins us for the first half of this hour. If you have a question or comment about your team, 656-9900, 656-9900. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, John and Jimmy. Thank you very much.
Well, we sure do appreciate it. Have you been able to, in person, welcome Patrick Mahomes to your level of money making?
I haven't been able to reach out to him yet, but I'll tell you something about that deal. It's a great deal for the Chiefs. You know, why an agent and a player would tie themselves to a franchise for 12 years, knowing that the contract could be obsolete in 5 years, is beyond me. That's why Dak Prescott wants a shorter deal, why Deshaun Watson wants a shorter deal, but great for the Chiefs. They don't have to make a move with Mahomes for 12 years unless they want to. And I'm guessing at some point after 5 years they'll redo it, because then there'll be a bunch of quarterbacks paid more than him. And it looked to me like Lee Steinberg was looking to be able to say that he negotiated the first $500 million contract. There's no way he's going to make all that money. There's been other long-term contracts. Donovan McNabb, 12. Brett Favre, 10. Drew Bledsoe, 10. None of them came close to finishing it.
Well, the thing that stood out, John, is that Patrick Mahomes comes from a baseball family. This seems to be a baseball-type contract. What was your reaction to the numbers when you found those out, as you just touched on briefly?
Well, it's not the numbers. The numbers, like, in the first three years, he'll make as much as Teddy Bridgewater. Through 4 years, he'll make less than Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill will be unrestricted. He'll still know another 8 years. He doesn't make $40 million until 2023. The whole deal, counting the 2 years left on his current deal, 12 years, an average of $39.8 million, with a possible $450 million in new money. And he would have to make every single incentive to make $502.9 million. So I'm not gasping at the numbers, because I'm looking at those numbers, and so many of them are unrealistic. I want to know about the guarantee, which is $10 million. I want to know about what is guaranteed skill and injury, not just injury, but skill and injury, like contracts in other sports. So it's good for him if he's able to play 5 or 6 years, which he should be, and it is a great deal for the Chiefs. And I don't think anybody else will be signing a contract like that. I know here the big deal was, how does this affect Deshaun Watson? It doesn't affect him one iota.
Does it affect Dak Prescott?
No, Dak Prescott's not going to go out and all of a sudden say, hey, I want a 12-year, I want a 10, well, his couldn't be 12 because his contract's up. No way a person wants to tie himself to an organization unless the contract was tied to a percentage of the cap, which has never happened, or unless it was all guaranteed. There's just no way. And truthfully, I'm surprised that Mahomes agreed to this deal. To me, he should have signed like a 4 or 5 year extension. And if quarterbacks are good, which he will be, he'll sign another 3 or 4 contracts with them. If he'd have done that, and it about every 3 years, it would be getting redone to keep it up to date with the times.
John, we have seen some Major League Baseball players opt out. We've seen some NBA players opt out. I wonder if you think there will be many NFL players that decide not to play this season.
Well, if they do, they won't get paid, so I don't think so. That's one of the many things they're haggling about. You would think that the NFL and the NFLPA would have had these things ironed out. I wrote a column about this yesterday. Some of the things they don't have ironed out: safety, when they come in, players have no clue what they're going to face as far as tests and results. Astros' Alex Bregman didn't get his results back, so he couldn't be on the practice field because they didn't come back fast enough. You see these companies that have been hired not doing their jobs and keeping players on the sideline. They don't know how many preseason there's going to be. They don't know if their 35% of their money is going to be put in escrow. They don't know the roster size. It looks like a lot of players are going to get cut who receive money to sign and have never met their team in person. There's no opt-out clause about positive tests, What are the salary cap ramifications? Travel, some teams want to travel on game day. NFL frowns on that. What about practice? The union wants like 15 players on the field. What can you get accomplished if you only have 15 players on the field at a time? Those are things that have to be ironed out. And the Texans and the Chiefs, because they play the first game, their rookies and quarterbacks can come in on the 20th, and they're supposed to full squad report by the 25th, and then ordinarily they'd be on the field by the 26th. But now they're thinking, are we going to spend the first couple of days taking tests? Right now, they don't know.
There are just so many logistics that need to be hammered out, and you've just touched on the biggest questions that remain before the NFL, before it returns. What have been your thoughts on what has been a very outspoken president of the NFL Players Association?
Yeah, it's so funny. When J.C. Treader, the Browns center, took over for Eric Winston after the CBA was negotiated, the 10-year extension, and thinking, okay, well, boy, his job's going to be easy. Oops. He's thrust right into the coronavirus pandemic, and then now I think he's so far, everything he is saying, and he's saying it on their website, and then it gets picked up by outlets, everything makes sense. And there's certain things that can be negotiated. The NFL preseason games is not part of the CBA. Whatever the NFL decides, it decides. But here's why the league wants two games, not just for looking at the roster and evaluating the players. They need a practice run on, if you play a game, how many players are going to turn around and test positive the next week? You know, that's something you don't wait to find that out for the first game. If you're going to be 30 guys on every team who played a game test positive, you need to know that in preseason, not in regular season. That'd wipe out 30 guys for two games. So I understand the league wanting two preseason games. The union doesn't want any. What the union actually wants for training camp is just kind of like walkthroughs. They want 3 weeks of acclimation. What does that mean? I've always thought of that as conditioning. They want, I think, 8 days with pads and right at the end. And I tell you, there's going to be a lot of bad football played early in the season, I believe, especially on defense, because those guys will not have hit anyone since last season.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And we got to speak with your good friend Mike Keith a little bit yesterday. And I'm just wondering, how uniform do you think, or I should say, how unified are the owners in regards to how they want to approach this upcoming season? Because we've heard that you've had, now granted, this is a season that has not been interrupted like we've seen other sports. So is it easier for NFL owners to be unified in how they approach the season or how they'd like to see the season play it out compared to other sports where you've got some saying we shouldn't return to play, some we should, and let's do it this way?
The NFL owners are not always unified behind the scenes, but they come out as unified. That's one reason they run the sport instead of the union. Union runs baseball. Union runs basketball. And that's not the case in the NFL. So if there's some behind the scenes that disagree with what they're doing, they usually come on board. Powers of Roger Goodell's persuasion. But there is going to be a trial and error period, as there is right now with baseball, and there will be with basketball. But the games are going to go on because so much money is to be made, they believe it's worth the risk. The only way I see things being shut down is if you have massive amounts of tests that keep so many players in quarantine, you don't have enough to pay a legitimate game. Roger Goodell's always talking about protecting the shield. Well, if you're putting backups out there on both sides of the ball because you're so intent on playing because so many starters tested positive or being quarantined, you know, that's the integrity of the game. They're always about protect the shield, the integrity of the game. There'd be no integrity of the game if you did that. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it's good because anything can happen.
Our guest, John McClain. We'll get a break. We've got more with John coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The station where winners listen and listeners win. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, our guest John McClain of the Houston Chronicle.
John, I want to ask you about Trey Smith, the Tennessee offensive lineman. He decided to come back for another year, and he had only two padded practices last year. That is a concern with some NFL teams, maybe all of them. But I wonder, do you think his draft status could be greatly impacted if there is no college football this season?
I think if there's no college football season, it's going to have an effect on all players, not the great quarterbacks or the great players you know of based on last year's performance. But if there was a cancellation of the series, it would affect everybody. But you're still going to have the same number of rounds. And what I would make sure I did is if I was not playing this season, I would make sure I was in great shape for when the time came that I had a combine or I had a pro day or private workout. I would blow them away because they're not going to have anything on tape. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to have college football, and it may be some fans or may not be fans, but I think there's so much money that has to be made. People are willing to take the chance.
If we do have college football and Trey Smith plays in games only without practicing, do you think that has a negative impact on his draft status?
Well, I think it depends on how he played. I think if he went out and played, they said, why do we have to have practice? But, yeah, I think there's so many different – and this is something we've talked about this in the past. And NFL swears it's been true. You can play a whole season. You can play three whole seasons, and you can play great or you can play be mediocre. And when your season is over, if you get invited to the Senior Bowl and you go to Mobile and kick butt and practice, all of a sudden they're going to be talking about you. The websites are going to be writing about you. If you go to the combine and you work out well, everybody's going to be publicizing it. It's what you do in the shorts and T-shirts, unfortunately, is more important than what you do when you play in games. And the NFL denies that, but I have seen it every year for them to rave and rave and rave about what guys do when they're in their shorts and the T-shirts, which to me is absolutely preposterous.
Jim Harbaugh, head coach at Michigan, says he doesn't think playing sports will make the COVID-19 outbreak any worse. Do you agree with him?
I think Jim Harbaugh sounds like a moron to say something like that because every – a nincompoop. Think about everything we're asked to do, wear a mask and socially distance. Every health expert out there says this is the best way to help prevent the virus, and they're going to go out there and they're going to hit each other for a day, and they're going to bleed and they're going to sweat and they're going to spit and they're going to blow snot on each other. And so does he really believe all of that and all that being on top of each other is not going to be effective, not going to have an effect? I can't believe it. Now, Harbaugh said some dumb things in his career, but that takes the cake.
John, we have seen teams make adjustments, prepare for what could be either empty stadiums, partially full stadiums, things along those lines. The Titans are among a group of teams that just allowed an opt-out for season ticket holders. If they choose to, they can roll their season ticket payments for the 2021 season as opposed to this upcoming fall. Are the Texans doing something similar? Have they announced their policy yet?
Oh, yeah, they did it 3 weeks ago. They said you can get your money back for this year. You can get them rolled over to next year. Just let them know. And I had some friends who had tickets, so what should I do? I said, well, go ahead and pay the money and get your tickets. And if you don't want to use them, you get your money back. And if you do, it gets rolled over till next season. And I think every team in every sport ought to allow that. And the problem is you pay your money and then – I think there was a story today that said Baltimore is preparing to play with 14,000 fans. Well, all teams have a plan to play with that number or right around it. And that number includes fans. Say you guys want to go to a game. Say the Vols were under these restrictions, 14,000 fans. Everybody had to wear a mask. Depending on your number, you enter the stadium at a certain time. You can't leave till a certain time. When you go to the restroom, every other urinal is covered. So you have lines like women do anyway. And you can't go to concessions at a certain time. And is it worth it? Instead of watching it on a big flat screen, high definition TV, I don't know. And also, not just people not next to you, other than family, they can't be in front of you, they can't be behind you. You know, could you even hear a crowd of 14,000 in that stadium of 105,000? I don't. They look to me, they look like ants.
Very true, and you also wonder exactly what would be the exactly how they would determine what season ticket holders get in and which ones don't. Don't know if it'd be a priority number like some have in terms of length of I guess, loyalty or how teams, if they were to be able to bring fans in, but it'd be less than the season tickets sold. That just seems to me to be a headache, not only for the NFL, but for college football if we get that far down the path.
Now, John, you know the answer to that.
Well, money.
How much money you've given to the program puts you at the top of that priority, whether they say it or not. I have a friend of mine who has a suite on the 50-yard line at the University of Texas, and he said they've been told by our governor you can fill up half your station. I said, nobody's listening to our governor now. Why in the world would you listen to him about that? You know, he's been totally clueless. One of the reasons we have 10,000 new cases every day is because he didn't listen to the health experts. He listened to political pressure. And now we're in trouble. We're backpedaling like Deion Sanders. And so if he just arbitrarily says, okay, you can put 50,000 in there and all the suites, you can have the people full, I'm thinking, you know what, that ain't going to work. You know, who in their right mind with this outbreak, especially in Florida and Texas and Arizona, would want to go be around a bunch of people? Baylor plays Ole Miss here in the first game at NRG Stadium, the kickoff classic, and I had two suites reserved for my friends, and they're like, are we going to the game? I said, are you kidding me? Even if they let people go, I ain't going. You can go. I'm not getting close to a big crowd like that, including my friends. So everything is so up in the air, and the last person I would listen to is a politician. I would listen to health experts, and you hope if you're an athletic director and a president of a school, you're not listening to the politicians. You're listening to the health experts you trust.
Going back to the Patrick Mahomes deal, what do you think that means to Andy Reid? And obviously coming off of his first Super Bowl championship, I know he has to feel wonderful, but what do you think, how long do you think he might keep coaching?
Well, first of all, he was so happy he went out and bought some new Tommy Bahama's Hawaiian shirts. And I'm sure, you know, he likes to celebrate with a cheeseburger after victories, which he has admitted. I'm sure he celebrated with some cheeseburgers. Now, 2 years ago, let's see, this is 2019, I was at the combine and I was sitting next to the stage in the interview room, and Andy was standing there about to go on, and I spoke to him. He said, how much longer are you going to do this? I said, oh, probably about another 5 years. What about you? He said, I'm going to do it until they drag me out. So something like this is like discovering the fountain of youth for Andy Reid. Everybody loves Andy Reid. He used to get unmitigated criticism because of his clock management, and deservedly so. And now that he's won a Super Bowl, you know, nobody's criticizing his clock management. I bet you this is the best time of his career, and I do not see him leaving the game anytime soon.
John, will Cam Newton be a successful quarterback in New England? Will he win a division title for the Patriots?
Jimmy, he doesn't have a lot of talent. Same thing. Problem Brady had last year, doesn't have a lot of talent. How many skill positions other than Sony Michel can he count on? Nikhil Harry, number one pick last year, missed half the year. He didn't show anything. Now maybe he'll be really good going into his second year. Julian Edelman is a great slot receiver, starting to break down. They need him to stay healthy. They need to run the ball like crazy. And so I would think I'm going to pick them to win the division. But remember, Jimmy, they lost players besides Tom Brady that helped them go 12-4 last year and win the division again. And I'm not confident that Buffalo is going to continue to prove on last season's record they made the playoffs. Buffalo's made the playoffs about 3 years ago, then missed the next year. So I'm going to pick, now that Cam Newton's there, I'm going to pick them to win the division, but there's no way they're a Super Bowl contender.
If you were to assume that the best quarterback in the NFL for the next 5 years is Patrick Mahomes, who's the second best? Would you go Lamar Jackson or somebody else? Next five years.
Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, because you look at Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and even though Rodgers wants to play another 5 years and might, you'd have to go with a younger guy. I would take Jackson. Jackson's had one great year. Deshaun Watson's had two really good ones. He's gotten better every year despite trading DeAndre Hopkins. They have loaded up wide receivers with deep speed. Pro Football Focus has him as second best passer last year, throwing the ball beyond 20 yards. So the offense is set for him. But beyond that, maybe Carson Wentz stays healthy 2 or 3 years, and he would be in that group. I don't see Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, or any of the recent group like Josh Allen. I think it's clearly Mahomes, Jackson, and Watson. The next one to get a contract will be Watson. After that will be this time next year. I'm guessing Lamar Jackson with 2 years left. Maybe Dak Prescott, but I think he's right behind that group.
John, what are you working on this week?
I'm working on a column for Friday about Deshaun Watson's improvement starts up front with an offensive line that returns all the starters for the first time in Bill O'Brien's 7 seasons. And then I'm doing one for Sunday about the 5 Texans players with something to prove, starting with wide receiver Will Fuller, as proving be healthy. And the next week we're starting a series, a position-by-position look at the Texans at training camp. And I have the first one, which will be on wide receivers on our sports website, TexasSportsNation.com. And I'll look forward to talking to you guys.
John, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
John and Jimmy, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thank you. That's John McClain with the Houston Chronicle. You can follow his work at Cron.com as well as Texas Sports Nation on Twitter. A fantastic follow at McClain_on_NFL.